Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Enrique Salado. Fun fact, my last name, Salado, means salty in Spanish. Yeah, there you go. I work with our youth ministry here at DSBC, and this morning I get to share a message with y'all. And so before we jump in, I need everyone's help with something, okay? My first name, Enrique, the proper way to pronounce it is by rolling that R, okay? And so we're gonna practice together. There's no judgment. I mean, at least I don't think. So when I say N, let's say the first part of my name, you'll say Rique, right? And you'll roll that R as best as you can, okay? We're gonna do a little back and forth. Here we go. N. Okay, this side of the room, you guys are killing it. This side, I need a little bit more. N. Last time, N. Great, great, great job. If anyone asks you where you learned how to roll your R's, tell them church. So now that we've warmed up, I do have a question for you, and I need everyone to participate, okay? Raise your hand if you've ever argued with somebody. Come on, let's be honest, okay? Raise your hand if you ever argued about who the GOAT is, who the greatest of all time is, in whatever category. Okay, good, good. So I'm not alone. And so I'm going to give you a couple of prompts. We're going to have a friendly GOAT debate, and I said friendly, okay? We're gonna look at this question, who's the greatest of all time? And I'm gonna give you some prompts. And so just feel free to share what comes to mind. So here we go. When it comes to basketball, Jordan or LeBron?
Jordan.
Okay, any LeBron fans in the room? Okay, we got a couple. They're kind of afraid. I see you. Am I missing anybody? I mean, I know there's different generations in the room. Am I missing? Okay, I see. I heard a name that I hadn't heard before. Good. Okay. All right, what your hand, I see it. Diana Taurasi, ooh, that's a good one. Okay. So I got another one. When it comes to, in light of the World Cup, right, going on this month, Messi or Ronaldo? Yeah, okay. Any Ronaldo fans? No Ronaldo fans in the room? Come on. All right. When it comes to musicians, who are we thinking? We got Taylor Swift, we got the Beatles, Michael Jackson. All right, who am I missing? Come on, help me out. Okay, Bad Bunny, we got, okay, Benito, okay. Straight from Puerto Rico, what about over here? Juice WRLD, okay, am I missing anybody? Anybody, like, what about Elvis Presley? Anybody like Elvis? Okay, all right. All right, well, moving on. I got another one here. I'm actually gonna say a category and you just tell me what you think. Movies. The Notebook, okay. We got it. Yes? Oh, Lord of the Rings, any Lord of the Rings? That's a great trilogy. Dark Knight, The Batman Returns. I mean, Star Wars, any Star Wars fans in the room? Okay, Minions, is that maybe? Okay, I'm just throwing things out there again. Okay, one last one. What about Disney characters? Greatest of all time Disney characters, go. Who? Abu, okay, Jasmine, yes. Luke Skywalker, Cinderella, okay, good, all right. So, we could clearly do this all morning, right? Because here's the thing. Every generation has its own answer. And every generation thinks their answer is the right one. But let me ask you this. What actually makes someone the GOAT, the greatest of all time? Is it their stats? Is it maybe their influence, their records, their accomplishments? Is it their highlight reels? These are usually the things we point to, right? When we're having these GOAT debates or conversations. But let's take it a step further. If we were making a list of the greatest people who ever lived, who belongs on that list? Some might say Mother Teresa, others might say Gandhi, or maybe Nelson Mandela, or maybe MLK. Today, I'd like to make the argument that Jesus is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Period. Not just the greatest teacher, but the greatest person who has ever lived. You see, he's not just the greatest example or the greatest religious leader, he's the greatest person who's ever lived. And here's what's fascinating. While we may never agree on the greatest athlete or musician, there is one person people from every generation have been talking about for over 2,000 years. And his greatness doesn't come from trophies, from statistics, or fame. It comes from something completely different. In fact, Jesus talked, the person I'm referring to, talked about greatness, but not the way we do. You see, I think he knew we would enjoy a good debate, especially if it has to do with greatness, and that sometimes we might even get carried away, or maybe even get the wrong idea about what it means to be truly great. You see, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we're fascinated with greatness. We watch greatness. I mean, take the World Cup, the best of the best competing against each other, and all of us wanting our team to be at the top or to be considered the greatest in the world. Many of us want to be great. I don't think nobody grows up like hoping to be average, right? What I'm trying to say is I think we all want our lives to matter, to mean something, to be known, to be noticed. And when we look at the scriptures, we see the scriptures full of people who also perhaps wanted the same thing. If we look at the disciples of Jesus in the gospels, they weren't any different. They wanted greatness too. In fact, they spent time arguing about who among them was the greatest. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Mark chapters 9 and 10. We're going to be looking at two passages within Mark chapter 9 and 10. And the first one is in Mark chapter 9, verses 33 to 35. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and go there with me. If you don't, feel free to use your phone and look up the Bible app or Bible.com. If you would like a Bible, you can find one in the lobby and pick it up and take it home with you. So we're in Mark chapter 9, verses 33 and 35. And this is what it says. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, let me pause. Capernaum is this place in Galilee. It was like kind of the home base for Jesus and his disciples. It's a place they often met at. In this house that's mentioned here, many scholars believe that it's possibly Peter's house or one of Peter's family's houses. And so Jesus asks them, what were you arguing about on the way? So Jesus asked them a question about a private conversation they had on the road. Is Jesus trying to be nosy here? Maybe, yes. I mean, he's asking a really good question at the very least. But what did they say? They said they were silent because on the way they had been arguing with one another about who was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12, he said, come here, and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he must be last and a servant of all. Bless you. So Jesus asks his disciples, we see it here, right? What were you arguing about on the road? And what's their response? Tell me. Complete silence. Because they had been arguing about who was the greatest. Now what's interesting is moments before this, Jesus has just performed a bunch of miracles and he's predicted his own death. He's told them, hey, I'm going to suffer. And instead of asking Jesus, hey, what do you mean by that? Or how can we help? That sounds crazy. They're arguing about who's going to get a promotion. Do you see it? And so what does Jesus respond to this argument around greatness? He says, anyone who wants to be first must be last and a servant of all. Now, if you think about it, this isn't how greatness usually works, at least in our world. The world says, be first. Jesus says, be last. The world says, be served. But Jesus says, serve. And if I can take it a little bit further, the world says, take. At all costs, do take. But Jesus says, give of yourself willingly. The world says, exalt yourself, put yourself on a pedestal. But Jesus says, humble yourself. Now let's take a look at that passage in Mark chapter 10. Verses 35 to 45. This is a longer passage, so don't fall asleep on me yet. We'll get through it. So it says, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, approached him and said, let me just pause here. I thought my name was pretty cool, like Salado Salty Zebedee. Come on now. So they approached him and said, teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask you. What do you want me to do for you? He asked them. They answered him, allow us to sit at your right and at your left in your glory. And Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We are able to, they told him. Or in other translations say, we can. And Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and you will be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not mine to give. Instead, it is for those from whom it has been prepared. When the 10 disciples heard this, they began to be indignant, indifferent with James and John. And Jesus called them over and said to them, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high positions act as tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you will be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Apparently, the lesson in Mark 9 didn't stick. The disciples still don't get it. They still continue with this conversation about greatness. And so we see in the chapter, Jesus respond to this request. James and John come to Jesus with a request. They ask him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." They ask, basically, right, what they're basically saying, or in other words, "Jesus, when you become king, we want to be your number two and your number three." What are they asking for? They're asking for places of honor. But Jesus asks them a question that they don't fully understand. Did you catch it? It's where he asks, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink?" Now, is he talking about a literal cup? No. Throughout Scripture, the cup often represents suffering or God's judgment. And so Jesus is essentially asking, "You want the glory, but are you willing to experience the suffering that comes before the glory? Are you able to walk the road that leads to glory?" And the disciples, as we just read, confidently answer, "Yes, we can." The irony is that they have no idea what they're agreeing to. Jesus knows that he's talking about the cross. It's the cross that's ahead of him. It's that suffering. They're still thinking about positions of honor, of status. Who's going to be great when he becomes king? So how Jesus responds completely redefines greatness. He says, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." And then Jesus points to the way the world works. You know that part where Jesus says the Gentiles lord it over them? The rulers of that day measured greatness by authority, by status, by control, by being served, by how many people served them. But Jesus says, I love this, "Not so among you, not so with you." You see, the world measures greatness by how many people serve you. In God's kingdom, greatness is measured by how many people you serve. And then comes the key verse, Mark chapter 10, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This verse tells us why Jesus is the GOAT, the greatest of all time, period. You see, every other GOAT conversation eventually points to achievements, to stats, to records, to trophies, to influence or success. Jesus points to sacrifice. Jesus points to service. Jesus points to the cross. And that's exactly what we see in John 3:16 as well, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." You see, Jesus did what nobody else could do. He lived the life you and I couldn't live. He dies the death we deserved, and he rose from the grave. And he made it possible for you and I to have a relationship with God. Church, he did the impossible. And that's why more than 2,000 years later, people from every generation, and I mean every generation, are still talking about him. One of my favorite things about our church is that we have multiple generations worshiping together, especially on Sundays like today, our intergen service. We have kids. Where are my kids at? Okay, I see your hands. We got teens. Where are my teens at? Okay. We got young adults. Where are my young adults at? Okay. We got parents and grandparents. You guys can wave. Oh, you guys were the loudest. I love that. So we have different ages. We have different experiences. We have different stories. And so this morning, I'd love for us to hear from a few people representing different generations. And this is something we love doing within our youth nights. It's a chance for us to hear other voices and learn from one another. And so would you please join me as I welcome up my panel, or our panel, who are gonna be representing different generations today. So come on up as we get ready for our panel. Come on, give them a warm welcome. Thank you so much. I got it. Thank you. All right, church, everyone say hello. This is our amazing panel. And so I have a couple of questions for you as we kick things off. I'd like to start with introductions. So I'd love for you to tell us your name, what generation you belong to, and one thing people should know about your generation.
My name is Reg Givens. I am a baby boomer.
Hey, any boomers in the room?
And I think people should know that my generation is more adventurous than you might think.
Ooh, that's good.
I am Dawn Farmer, and I am barely a Gen Xer. And our generation, while yours is adventurous, ours was the first to the moon, the first to introduce Star Trek and Star Wars. And so, cool generation.
I'm Angela Van Vlack, and I'm a millennial, although some would refer to me as an elder millennial. One thing to know about us is there's a large population of us that have lived in two different worlds. So a lot of us grew up before internet, before smartphones, before social media, but we also grew up in a world with that influence, and we've learned to constantly adapt and change, but we deeply yearn for genuine connection.
That's good. So you're telling me that there's one after you already?
Yeah.
And what is that generation called? Okay, cool. All right, so now that we have introductions out of the way, here's my second question for you. What about Jesus made you want to follow him? And what about Jesus resonates the most with your generation?
When I was about 11 or 12, I remember being at church like this and the pastor speaking about Jesus and the goodness of him and the goodness of God. And I knew I wanted to be good. And if Jesus is God, then Jesus is good. And so I wanted to follow Jesus. Something about my generation to know about Jesus, I think it's the third commandment, which says, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I just think generationally, no slight on anybody, right? First, the Israelites wouldn't even say God's name. Then my generation said it with a great deal of reverence, and I think progressively, it's losing that.
All right, well, thanks for sharing that.
So I met Jesus when I was at a kids' camp, when I was young, 8 years old. And something about our generation, we are also known as the latchkey generation. So the first generation that was maybe left home alone because both parents are working, or maybe even the parents weren't together anymore. And so for me, and I think also for my generation, there was that consistency where Jesus always loved you no matter what, but also that safety with Jesus and knowing that Jesus was always with us even if we felt alone.
What drew me to Jesus was realizing that I never had to earn his love, and that he's wanted me through every season of my life, and that he welcomes the broken, loves people deeply, and speaks the truth with compassion. I think that resonates with a lot of millennials because we're quick to spot inauthenticity, and Jesus lived what he taught. Yeah. He cared about people, not about their appearances, and he moved towards those who felt unseen and undeserving.
That's good. Thank you for sharing, Angela. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to be scared of. Yeah. Yeah. All right. My last question is actually a fill in the blank. Let's finish the sentence. Jesus is the goat because?
Oh, wow. Jesus is the goat because of his power move. Let me tell you what I mean by that, right? I think one of the greatest displays of power is restraint. And Jesus humbled himself and subjected himself to death on the cross for me. And then he resurrected to life, defeating death so that I might have life.
Amen.
There's no power greater.
That's good. That's good. Thank you, Reg. Thank you so much.
I think Jesus is the goat because his values are timeless. And when we experience brokenness all the time in this world, we turn towards Jesus and find that safety, and we find a different way to live in the broken world.
Oh, that's good.
I think Jesus is the goat because in a world that's shifting and changing all the time, he is constant and unchanging.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Amen. Amen. I think that's a great way to wrap up our panel. Can we say thank you to our amazing panel? You guys can go ahead and take a seat. Thank you so much. Thank you. So we just heard from a boomer, a Gen X, a millennial, a Gen Zer, and a Gen Alpha. It sounds like from Jed, we might have missed another generation, but we'll get it right next time. So let me ask you, what did you notice? What did you hear? We had different ages up here, different experiences, different stories, but every person pointed to the same Jesus. And that's because Jesus isn't just the goat for one generation, he's the goat for every generation. I just want to reiterate something I said earlier. Why is Jesus the goat again? Well, it's not because he demanded greatness or because he chased after greatness or because he made people serve him, but because he served. He sacrificed because he went to the cross and because he rose again and made it possible for us to have a relationship with God. So let me leave you with one question. Is Jesus at the top of your list? When you think about the greatest of all time, does he even make your list? If he isn't, I'd encourage you to take a look at his life. Take a look at the Gospels. Look at the way he loved. Look at the cross. Look at his resurrection and decide for yourself. And if you're already convinced, if you know Jesus is the goat without a doubt, no debate, then don't just say it, live like it. Worship like it. Talk about him like it. Treat people like it. Serve others like it. Because according to Jesus, greatness isn't found in being served. It's found in serving others. And nobody modeled that better than the goat, Jesus. Let me pray for us, and then I'll have Danny come and lead us in a song. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this time that we have to worship together. All these different generations, Lord, who have come to know who you are and what you've done, Lord. Thank you that we have been able to see your greatness in so many different ways. And I thank you also for those who are still trying to figure out who you are, Lord. I pray that today that they would have heard maybe something new, or maybe you just would have revealed yourself in a new way. We give you thanks. And in Jesus' name I pray. And me and my friends say, amen. Amen. Amen.